Lean some. We're going to study a little bit about her. Mark chapter 16, if you will, turn in your Bibles. You will hear, if you rely on what the world has to say, and you rely on what basically man's history will tell you, you will hear so many different tales about Mary Magdalene. The history is crazy what spectrum they'll go from on one side to the other. But honestly, if you read what the Bible says about Mary Magdalene, it's an incredible story. I don't believe what the human authors have written, that she and Christ were together, that was his wife, and or she was a harlot at one time or another. I don't believe the Bible's specific on that. You might be split hairs with me on that because of where she was from or whatever. But to be real honest with you, the Bible doesn't say that. But what the Bible does talk about is her specifically in a lot of different places. And I want to show you one very specific portion. And we're going to go through some scriptures tonight. And it's already 7:25. I'm going to do my best to get through these. But this is a very interesting lady. And I want you to see one specific thing. If Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 9. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And he went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not." I want you to see verse 9. "When Jesus was risen early the first day of the week." This is him coming out of the grave. This is him appearing for the first time. And who does he appear first to? He appears first to Mary Magdalene. Now we're going to take a moment and pray here. But why, you must ask, why? And I'm going to give you simple, you know me. I don't like to get outside of the parameters of this too awful much. I don't like to take a whole lot of liberty with what the Bible says. Now, you can get some theologian's book, and you can try to figure out the spirituality behind this if you want to. But I'm going to tell you what I see and what the Bible tells me, okay? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to talk about this. Why did he appear to her first? Why her? Why did he pick her first? Let's go ahead and pray. Brother Eddie, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. As we see also in this verse, though, just keep that in mind that he appeared unto her first. And we're going to try to figure out why he appeared to her first. And I believe I know the truth of this, but I'm going to go ahead and let the Bible tell me what it is. Study a little bit about her. If you look in this verse again, Mark chapter 16, we're going to look in verse 9, out of whom he had cast seven devils. How many would agree that if you've got seven devils that needed to be cast out, that means you've got seven devils? Okay, now I know it's real difficult. I'm going to go real fast here, okay? She had seven devils. She must have had seven devils because seven devils, Brother Phil, had to come out of Mary Magdalene. So if she had seven devils, I don't know what those seven devils were doing in there, but I don't believe seven devils have ever done a good thing in their whole entire existence. So inside of her, you've got to imagine, Miss Debbie, that she's tormented. You got to imagine inside of her, and I don't know if there were seven scars, seven things that happened in her life, seven devils that are just taking up residence and tearing her life apart. I don't know what she looked like. I don't know what she was, but I do know this. She needed Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knew that she needed him, and he made his way to her, glory to God. So you must understand something. I had a need for Jesus Christ at 11 years old. I may not have had seven devils inside of me, although mom and dad might have thought I had seven devils plus. But anyways, the devil knew her, or the Lord knew where I was. The Lord came unto me. I accepted him as my Savior, and glory to God, I'm looking at you today as somebody that's going to heaven when I die. Not about who I was, not about what I'd become, not about the fact that I was such a good kid or a bad kid. Had nothing to do with it. This proves to you that this woman was probably the worst of the worst. Seven devils inside of her, probably doing all things wrong. But glory to God, devil's big enough, or the Lord's big enough to overcome what was inside of her. Let me help you here a little bit, just a side note. Be very careful that you don't write people off. I'm not saying, listen. Be very careful here. Because I've been talked on the Brother Dave, you talk about not judging all the time. And I'm going to tell you, be very careful. You judge not lest you be judged. However, when we have the Bible at our disposal, you can let it judge. Okay? You can let it judge between what's right and what's wrong. You can, with the knowledge of the Scriptures, Brother Bill, understand that the homosexual crowd is the wrong crowd. Don't you judge those people. He did. The Bible's already done it. All I got to do is believe what the Bible says, hold up what the Bible says. The judgment's been passed. Now, can they be saved? You better believe they can be saved because the Bible's already made that judgment too. Whosoever will may come. By the way, they don't have to get right before they get saved. Boy, I tell you right now, this is fun. I didn't even realize this was going to happen. Mary Magdalene didn't get right before the devils were cast out. The Lord just came when the devils were in. You better say hallelujah to that because you were not worthy to be saved before you got saved. So you must understand something. This woman was in need of Jesus Christ. And he came. And he cast out those seven devils of her life. I don't know what that must have been like. I know what it was like when I got saved. It was wonderful. And there are times in her life and in my life as well, I'm sure, that she went through valleys even after salvation. How many have ever gone through a valley? But I'm so thankful that the Lord doesn't leave us ever. Another thing you see here, after salvation, I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. She is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. Luke chapter 8. After her salvation, she ministered unto him. Mary had seven devils, and she accepted him. After her salvation, she ministered to him. Look at this in Luke chapter 8, verse 2. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Now, I'm not exactly sure what this means, but it seems to me like she brought along stuff that she could use to minister unto her Lord. When I got saved, I didn't bring a whole lot with me. But understand this, right now, I've got some substance. I've worked hard. I've got some substance. I've got some things. And coming right out of a missions conference, this seems to be apropos. I've got some substance unto which I can minister unto my Lord. That Lord that cast those seven devils out of her life, she couldn't wait to give what she had to minister unto him. What a great thought, what a great feeling to know that somebody who got saved and realized that what they had was so much more if they gave it to him. We can hang on to what we've got. We really can. But what happens when you die? Where does your stuff go? Nowhere. Your stuff stays right here. You go to heaven. You might as well use what you've got for him. He's already prepared everything you need up in heaven waiting on you. What do we have that he cannot use? What do we have that he cannot bless? What do we have that really it should belong to him? As she looks in this scripture, we see a person that, man, she got wonderful salvation. Then she decided to get busy. She got wonderful salvation. And then she decided to minister. Let me tell you, it wasn't the easiest thing in the world to minister unto Christ. Not everybody liked him. Many people did. But did they come unto him because they loved him? Or did they come unto him for what he could give them? Why did we vote for our president? No, I'm talking America. I know I didn't. Maybe you did. I don't know. I didn't hear you guys gripe about that real early. But listen, listen. Why did America vote for him? Not because they love him, but because of what they think they're going to get. Let me explain something to you. When Jesus Christ, and it's proven over and over again in the scripture, Brother Bill, he feeds 5,000, but the very next chapter over, he's only feeding 4. What happened to the other 1,000? They didn't love him. They wanted to see what they could get. They got their Big Mac Happy Meal and left. Understand this. This woman got saved. She realized how much the Lord meant to her. She realized how much that he had changed her life and decided that she's going to follow him forever and give of her substance to minister to him. Not to show off to others. To minister to him. What a wonderful testimony that you gave your all. Listen, Miss Debbie, you're a very talented songwriter. If you don't use your gift to do for the Lord, to minister unto him, then you've missed it. Is that not true? If her songs don't glorify God, then she's missed what the Lord has given her. If you don't use what God has given you, he didn't give you the talent that Miss Debbie has, maybe. But he gave you some talent. He gave you something. Something that he gave Mary Magdalene. Don't know what that substance was. But each one of you has substance. I'm not talking about your money now. I'm talking about what do you have? What did God give you? Every one of you in here is different than everybody else. Praise the Lord. I know you're thinking, God, there's not two of me. But the Lord gave me something. It isn't much, but I'm going to use what I have for him. That's what she did. You say, well, I don't have much. Can you pray? Well, give it back to him. Pray, thank God for him. Praise him. See, we don't use what God has given us because we feel, well, I can't sing like Brother Rod can, so I just won't sing. That's foolish. Because God gave each one of us a voice, and the Bible says that we should be voices. Oh, now you may not sing in front of the congregation because you'd pass out from fear. But understand this, there should be a time in our life where we're willing to praise the Lord. Giving of your voice that he's given you, the substance that we have. I'm so thankful that she gave of her substance. I want you to notice all 4 of the Gospels. She stayed close to her Savior. If you look, and I won't take time to turn to all these, but if you look, she's around at the hall. She's around at the crucifixion. She's around after the crucifixion. Now, I want to show you something here. She ministered to him in his journeys, being a follower. Look at Matthew chapter 27. We won't turn to all these, but I will turn to some. Matthew chapter 27. If you look at verse 50, this is the crucifixion. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. You ever seen that before? That must have been an exciting time. Imagine if you knew some old saint of the faith. Next thing you know, you see him. Hey, how you doing, Tom? I'm doing great. How are you? Wait a minute. Wouldn't that be something to see? I'm going to tell you right now, the power was so great at this time that the graves could no longer contain that leading captivity captive up into heaven. Glory to God. The Lord paid the price in full. And because he did that, Abraham's bosom could empty and he could lead those saints right up into glory. Amen. What a wonderful thing that must have been. Ah! By the way, they're waiting on us. Now listen, out of the graves after his and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene. Here she is at the crucifixion. You say, well, she's following afar off. Well, let me explain something to you. At least she was there. This is a time when they're killing Christians. This is a time when they're killing the followers of Christ. And there she is, beholding afar off, but beholding nonetheless. There she is, trying to stay close to her Savior, the one that meant so very much to her. If you look at Mark 15, this is after the crucifixion. Now when the even was come in verse 42 of Mark chapter 15, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. Not only was she there when Christ gave her new birth, not only was she there for some of his ministry. After she got saved, she stuck with him. Not only was she there at his death, she's also there at his burial. I don't know what, can you imagine what she must have been feeling? Can you imagine what anybody must have been feeling at that time, watching that Savior who was wonderful and awesome be buried? She's almost anticipating something's going to happen. She's almost anticipating nobody this wonderful could stay in the grave. Nobody this wonderful. No way could they hold him. I know I'm adding a little bit there, but I wonder if that's what she was feeling at the time. I want you to look also at Mark chapter 16. This is where we started. Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And I asked myself, why in the world would he appear to her first? She was there at her rebirth. She was there for some of his ministry. She was there for his death. She was there for his burial. Now she's there for his resurrection, and she's the first one to see him. It wasn't an accident. Come on. I think we've been around the block long enough to understand that Jesus didn't make any of those. It was not an accident that Jesus appeared to her first. But why? I'm not going to give you a wonderful spiritual profundity. What I'm going to show you is what the Bible says. And I hope and pray that we can incorporate that in our lives. It's a very, very simple thing. If you look at John chapter 20, I want to show you what it is. In John chapter 20, we're going to start out in verse 1. I'll let you get there because I want you to see it. And by the way, what's the difference what Mary Magdalene's background was? As I read some of the things that I read about her that other folks had written, I can't figure out what the difference is, Miss Debbie. Why were the statements made about what her past was? Who cares? The Bible doesn't really say. I don't believe the Bible's specific about it. I'm not a Bible scholar by any stretch. But what I saw here, I didn't see where it was very specific. All I saw was she had seven devils and the Lord needed to get rid of them. But what's the difference what her background was? What's the difference? I can go around the room, Miss Debbie. I don't know what all of your backgrounds are. But I got to be honest with you. If you got saved, it's irrelevant. And by the way, let me help you. If you're lost out there, it's irrelevant as well. Doesn't matter what your background is. If the Lord saved you, you've got the opportunity to serve Him. It doesn't matter where you're from. I love that, well, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. You can't serve. Well, I was a dirty, rotten, still a dirty, rotten sinner. What's the difference what the background is? It's what you do with the foreground. You look at this one more time. I'll get to it. I'm trying. Moving along pretty fast, though. I'm on my last point, and it's 7:45. Aren't you excited? No, because you're on your last point. Chapter 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, seeking the Lord early. What's the first thing you think of in the morning? Didn't used to be that way for me, I got to be honest with you. I used to wake up every morning in a lot of pain, very, very difficult for me to get up. Thankfully, the Lord's taken most of that away from me. And I can't help but think in the morning, first of all, oh Lord, where's the coffee? Oh Lord, please, coffee. Then after he grants that prayer request, isn't it wonderful that the Lord gives us another day? I was thinking about Pastor Fox, and I was telling Dad, Brother Rod, he didn't wake up that morning thinking he was going to end up that night in glory. He didn't. 59 years old. There's no way. I'm sure he's excited. But you know, I was telling the folks when we were praying, you know the jubilation and the excitement that Bethel feels when our preacher walks the aisle. Amen. I mean, you ought to. He's our shepherd. I wonder how much pain they feel knowing that the next time they see their pastor, he's going to be wheeled in. I hurt for those people because I know how much joy I have that our pastor's been spared. And the joy that I have for our preacher being spared, Miss Debbie, equally and maybe even worse, is the despair that that church must be going through realizing that their shepherd is gone home. Oh, I understand. He's in heaven. I understand we're going to see him again. But they love that man. Pray for those people. They're going to need to seek the Lord early. If you look at these verses, and the Lord is so very good. When it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Now these are pretty close disciples, would you not agree? The disciple whom Jesus loved, the one that rested his head on Jesus' bosom, and also Peter. Feed my sheep, Peter. And say that they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. That's amazing to me. How often did he tell them? I'm just reading what the Bible's saying here. I'm not making stuff up. This is something that they're coming to grips with. Oh my goodness gracious, he was talking about himself rising again. But you know what's funny? I don't hold too much against them here, Brother Rod. We're pretty dumb too. We really are. We are really behind sometimes. Amen. I know I didn't get a whole lot of amens there, but you were thinking it. Then the disciples, you were saying, speak for yourself. Then the disciples went away. Now listen, and this is it. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again, cheering and saying, glory to God, where is he? He's risen. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. Witnessing from door to door, telling everyone, glory to God, praying right there, man, thank you, God, having a Pentecostic fit right there in the middle. Is that what they did? They come to the sepulcher, then went away again unto their own home. These are two disciples that were very close to Christ. Two disciples that knew him very well. Yet when the time came that they maybe should be praising, they went home. And look at what this says. And I don't know what they did when they went home. Maybe they went and got their families. Let's not be too hard on these disciples. But understand this. They went home. And I want to show you what happens next. But Mary stood. When you get excited about going home before invitation's over, Mary stood. When you decide the church is over for you today, Mary stood. When you think that revival went too long, Mary stood. When you think that I wish we would stop singing so many verses on the invitation, Brother John, Mary stood. I can't believe we had two invitations during the missions. Two invitations. You know how long you're pushing my pot roast back? Well, Mary stood. You can't wait to leave. She had to stay. It's amazing to me how we don't have these massive altar calls anymore where lives are getting changed because lives want to go home. Who's got it better than this? Who's got it better than learning about Christ? Who's got it better than coming to a church house? Who's got it better than sitting on padded pews opening the wonderful love letter that Christ gave? Who's got it better? Is it better watching a football game? Be careful, fellas. I didn't hear any amens out of the guys there. I heard girls. Oh, no. Guys were all, you better shut up, brother. I'll see you out in that dark parking lot after we're done with this. No, I'll stay here. It's amazing to me how things become more important than where God is. It's amazing to me how things become more important. It's funny. We pray here on Tuesdays and Fridays, the men do, in case anyone's interested. Just a thought. We started out, and I got to be honest, I'm going to be honest with the people here, fellas, so don't get mad at me. The first few times, Brother Mike, I got to believe we were done praying in about 15 minutes. That's more than most of you have prayed all month. Aren't you glad you came? Last night, and we didn't chit-chat a whole lot last night, Brother Mike. It took us an hour to get out of here. Praying. Why? This is where God was. Why did he appear first to Mary Magdalene? Is it really as simple as because she was there? I wasn't there the day that we had two invitations in a missions conference. I didn't see it. Why? Because you weren't there. I don't know what it's like to come and pray on Tuesday nights with the men. Why? Because you're not here. See, Jesus appears there and makes me wonder, Brother Bill, if Jesus would have appeared to the other two as well, if they just would have stayed. Would they have seen him too? I don't know. But I know they weren't going to see him by running home. You know why I know that? Because they didn't. I know, it's real profound. See, what's amazing to me, but Mary stood. They left. They went home, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white. Why didn't they see the two angels? Because they weren't there. One sitting at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord. My Lord. I want you to notice what she says there. They've taken away my Lord. Mine. My Lord. He meant something to me. I love him. Not like the world says she loved him. She loved him as a Savior. And I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus. Why in the world, Brother David, I don't understand why the church services are drying up on me. I don't understand why my eyes don't get weepy. I don't understand why I don't think about lost souls. You know why? Because you don't go where God is. I know that God is in your heart. Don't you get pharisaical on me. You know what I'm talking about. When the altar call comes, that's where you're supposed to be, at the altar. And I'm not trying to force invitations. I hate that. But here's what's sad. Why do we have to do that? Let me tell you something. I have invitation to chapel services in school. And I have two or three kids that won't come. The rest of the school's up here. Sometimes praying for you. Why won't you come? Because you know if you don't come, the invitation will end. If I come and pray, it'll go on another verse. And we know how John does. He sings every verse every time. You know, I don't think it would do you any harm to stay. I don't think it would do us any harm to have church services go a little longer. I don't think it would do it. I never forget, when I first started preaching, I had people come up to me. It's a lost cause. Nobody does it anymore. I had people come up to me every time. You know why we like your preaching, brother? Why is that? Because you go short. They don't say that anymore at all. Because you go short. A few jokes, a little bit of message, and you're out. Man, that's fantastic. We're at McDonald's by 11:30. You know what's sad? Why are our priorities that way? I don't know why they went home, but they didn't stay. I don't know why you go home. Maybe you go home to read your Bible for 10 hours. Hey, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. You're here on a Wednesday night. You're of the upper echelon already. Maybe you go home and pray. Or maybe you go home like the vast majority of us, me included, and sit down in your chair and wait for the call to dinner, eat, and sleep. I would say TV, but I sleep, whether the TV's there or not. Here's what saddens my heart. Have we become so busy? Have we become so in a groove in our life that if the Lord came down in this place, we'd be upset? I just want you to think. I'm not yelling at anybody tonight. I just want you to think with me. If God came down, let's say we had an altar call. I was at a church one time. Bob Gray Sr. preached. And boy, he fired that place up. Tear up your fallow ground. And Brother Bill, we started to have invitation. And Tony Hudson was there. He had ha-ha'd all night long. That's how he preaches. Old time Southern goes like this a lot and does a lot of this. And he stood up just after just preaching about the red cap milk. And we're having the invitation. I'm telling you, it was packed. There was four men deep all the way back, starting to go down the aisle, but there were still loads of people in the pews. And men started to get up. I'll never forget it. It struck a chord in me because I used to be one of those couldn't wait to get home. I don't know about you. I don't know what you think. I don't know how you feel. I'm just telling you how I feel sometimes, and I want to put it out there that the reason that this miracle was shown unto this woman first, set the spirituality aside for a minute. She was in proximity. He stands up on a chair as the men started to go back. He says, hey, you done? Are you done? You've dealt with everything that the Lord's talking. Are you done? And I'm glad I wasn't one of them. I was still over there praying. Woo-hoo! I'd hate to have that man mad at me. And those men turned around and you could see tears start to come. Why? I don't know, why do you go to the altar? They came back. Oh, sure, they were browbeat into it, right? That's what you're thinking? The altar started to weep. The service lasted another 2 hours. Oh, you say, well, I'll go home. You won't see the miracle then. I've heard it said, and you can say what you want to. And it's a joke. I understand Baptist, it's a joke. I'll try to squeeze a 2-hour message into 4 hours. And if people reply to you, I'll just go home. You'll miss the miracle then. Not because of the preacher, but stay off that for a minute. What about when the Lord shows up? What about if the Lord showed up, Brother Sales? I have a feeling that the half of the church would already be home. Don't feel bad. Everybody but Mary was left. And what's amazing to me is this. Invitation time comes. You come forward and you go, oh God, man, I hope you change my life. Thank you. And I don't know why you come, but is that enough? And I'm not saying how long you got to be there, but why do you come? Do you come expecting change? Do you come expecting a miracle? Do you come expecting, hey, listen, what was the single greatest thing that ever happened in all of mankind? Not his death, his coming back to life, his resurrection. Oh, yes, it's all part and parcel. I understand it's all together. But if he doesn't rise from the dead, and there she was, the first one to witness it. Why? Because she stayed. Because she's a woman that's stubborn. Because she didn't want to leave her Savior. Because she was concerned about where he was. It's amazing to me that we as people have come so hard-hearted. Our soft hearts have gone because we're now, if the Lord, I can't imagine, what if the Lord doesn't speak to you? Brother Bill, how would you feel if the Lord stopped speaking to you? There's only two reasons to go to the altar. Only two. If the Lord spoke to you, and if he didn't. What happens? The men expected nothing. I'm just, right? What did they expect to see? Wow, there's nobody in there. Let's go home. But she says, where is he? I don't know. She started to cry. Her eyes started to moisten. Where's God gone? Where's my Lord? In your life tonight, where's the Lord gone? Did you stay long enough to see the miracle? Did you stay long enough to see something great? I can't wait till the building goes up. All the people that jumped ship. Why weren't you here when the money came in? Why weren't you here when the building went up? Why weren't you here when we saw the miracle? Because you didn't stay. It's amazing to me as you look over these scriptures, and you can put all kinds of spiritual applications to this, but I'm just looking at this one very simple thing, and I believe the Bible proves it out. In verse 10, the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood. I don't think there's any other explanation for it. I don't think, and I know Christ worked all this out. But preacher, the reason she saw him? Because her eyes were there. Verse 14. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Can you imagine that voice? I try to think of what that would have sounded like. I don't know what kind of voice he'd have had, but I bet you it was the most soothing thing. That voice that gives peace that passes all understanding. The God of all comfort speaks out, "Why weepest thou?" You come to this altar, tears, your body wrecked, your life in turmoil. Listen for the Lord to say, "Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." I don't know what that has sounded like either. But she turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." She stayed and she met the Master. You can go on with that if you want to. But understand this. And I can't figure it. And we are more than an above average church. More. I don't. Brother Rod travels all over. I got to believe we're at least in the top 10% of churches that. And right now, a revival has started here. I believe with all my heart, revival has begun. I hope you stay. Not leaving the church. I hope you stay waiting to see God do something. Because God is not dead. God is alive. It's so funny. Robbie Morrison, and you know these evangelists and missionaries, they always tell these stories. And I have a lot of stories too, but it's so funny. They always tell these stories and people look at them and say, "Oh, yeah, but that'll never happen to me, you know, that I pledged this and then the money came in. Come on, it'll never happen to me, right?" Okay, well, I put on my card, and I'm not going to tell you what I put on my card, but I put on my card a figure, and I said, "Lord, if you'll give, I'll put it in. You give it to me, and I'll put it in." Amen? A faith promise. It's the way it's supposed to work. Put it in there. The first funeral I did, I had enough to cover what I wrote down on a card. Over top of what I normally get for a funeral. And I grabbed that cart, I grabbed the thing, I said, "What? Man, that's all right." And I dialed the phone, said, "Hey, Brother Robbie, guess what? What I put on the card for faith promise came in. The very same amount I put on the card came in over and above what I usually get for a funeral. Glory to God." He's laughing on the other end. "I told you would, dummy." Why don't we see God do things? Why don't you see Him do things? Are you there? Are we there? When you come to church, do you show up? And when you show up, do you want to stay? Do you have a desire to see great and wonderful things? Brother Rod Black, I'm not sure if the independent fundamental Baptist movement of today is ready to see God do some of the miracles He's done in the past. Because we're too quick to get out of church. Church, good night revivals. Some of the stories I've read, they went for months. You bring a revival that lasts a month to the church of today, they'd fire the pastor. I'm not going to church that much. Mary Magdalene, why was she the first? And I'm all done. Real, real simple. I know. Why was she the first? Because she stayed. She was there. And Brother Carl, I want to be there when it happens. I want to be there. I don't want the invitation to go because I got up or did not come. You know what's funny? The next time that the Lord moves your heart even a little bit, to come forward. Do you know nobody writes down that you came forward? Do you know we don't have closed-circuit camera recording every move you make when you come here? You know that we don't look at you and say, yeah, that Jeannie Knight, she needed to come. Gets good. You ought to be a girl. Here's what's funny. You're right. She does need to come. So do you. The question is, do you want the Lord to show up? Do you want to be here? Do you want to wait for Him? Are you willing to say, God, I'm not leaving until you come? This is just a Wednesday night, brother. You know what's funny? When's the last time that the Lord came down in your personal life on a Wednesday night? In your life. Over this revival, I don't know about you, but Robbie was standing on my neck the entire days he was here. You will serve the Lord, Brother Dave. I'm going to tell you right now. You say, that's horrible. Is it really? Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord needs people that will stay. The Lord needs people that have a desire to find out where He's been. Hey, listen, where has He been in your life? Do you have a desire to seek Him out? Or do you make appointments on Sunday at 1 o'clock? Because I know church will be out by noon. What happens if the church runs over to 1 o'clock? You going to get out and go to your appointment? What if God shows up? You know, I seem to read in the Bible that Sunday's the Lord's day. I'll give you Wednesday nights. But if you go to Acts, they went every day to church. Okay, so be very careful that you don't say, well, according to the Bible, I don't see them having church on Wednesday night. Well, they had church every night. So be very careful what you wish for, because I could preach every night. And I guarantee you, these guys could preach every night. I guarantee you, we could have church for 8 months, and one of these guys would not be tired yet. Listen, here, look, oh, please, brother. This is not the message to be doing. Don't do that, man. I will quit this church. I'll go Catholic on you. What's amazing to me is we have a desire for a schedule. We have a desire for three hymns and you're out. We have a desire for the offering plates to come at a certain time. We have a desire for the announcements to go 30 seconds or less. We have a desire for the preacher to read a couple scriptures, give us 3 points, and you're out. Where's the Holy Spirit in all of that? I'm sorry, I'd rather have church. And you get mad, this old type preaching here, but I'd rather be in church than anywhere else. What else you got to do? You know what's going to happen. One of these days you're going to say, well, I'm not coming forward. I want the invitation to go short, and the Lord's going to flatten your tire out in the parking lot. And if He won't, I'll go out and flatten and act like it was Him. I'll keep you in this church. Listen, what's amazing, I want your thought to change. Why did God show up to her? Because everyone else went home. Whether you come to the altar or not, or whether you desire for God to do something great or not, that's up to you. But you know what's amazing to me? Is that the desire is not even there. By and large, we act like it is. We talk like it. We want it. But Brother Rod, if we wanted it, we'd sell out to get it. If we wanted it, if we wanted the great miracles, we'd stick around to see them. If we wanted to. People do what you want to do. That's the last thing, and I'm all done. I'll never forget it. And I know I've told you this a lot. When the jail ministry came up, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to go there, not because I was afraid. It's just, you think about jail conversions, you know, oh, come on. I know, I'm a Baptist preacher, right? You're looking at me like, wow, that's horrible. Like you've never been there. And I'll go. So I show up at the jail. I sing a few songs. I preach to them 10 minutes. and I sing another song. An inmate raised their hands. 42 people in the building. 42 people in that little room. And me. And I forget who was with me that day. Phil, I think. Howard. Me and one other guy about to get rushed by these people. That's all I could see. He fell in the front. Brother Rod raised his hand. He said, "We like your singing, preacher. But could you tell us more about Jesus?" I felt that big quick. And the reason that I felt that big that quick was because I didn't want to see it. Boy, it's quiet. I got that from Robbie Morrison. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to see it. I'm doing a ministry I don't want to do. Are you kidding me? Preaching to people? What? I know. I wish I could explain it. So I grabbed my Bible and I preached another message. This one went 58 minutes. Whoops. I went over a little bit. The officers were sitting in the back by the time I finished saying, "Really?" 42 people. 40 asked the Lord to save them. 40 asked the Lord to save them. Now, wait a minute. Brother Bill, and this is a really hard question. What happens if I close the service and leave? Come on now, help me. What happens if I say, "I know you want to hear more about the Lord, let's sing another song," and we move on? What happens, preacher? Nothing. Nothing happens. I go home, and I don't get to see it. I don't get to be part of it. And now I'll never forget it. Why? Because, yeah, I stayed. Why? Because the Lord convicted me like stabbing a javelin through my heart, saying, "What did I call you to do, dummy? I called you to preach, not sing. Preach." So I did, and they got saved. And in the months later, we saw hundreds come to the Lord. Why? Because we showed up and waited for the Lord to show up. And right now you're wishing I'd just shut up. But listen, that's our heart's problem. Not for me. I don't care who's preaching up here. Wish that God would come. Because, by the way, I got to help you. He's here. He's here now. Where's your heart? What do you want to see? Do you want to see the miracle out there in Infirmary Road? I don't know what God's waiting on. I really don't. But when it comes, will you be here? When it comes, will you see it? Will you be the first one to see the dozer get dropped off and be able to say, "Glory to God"? I don't know why he came to Mary Magdalene first, but I do know this. She saw him because she was there. Because she stayed. She wasn't in a hurry to get home. "Master, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" I just want to know where Jesus is. And don't tell me you've never felt that. You saved folks out there, that God has saved you, and you always have been so close to the Lord. Don't tell me you've never felt, where are you, Lord? Where are you? He looks down on you in this altar and says, "Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And as he calls out your name, "Lizzie, Bill, preacher, it's me. It's the Lord. You're not going to hear him talk to you, but there's a still small voice that lets you know he's there. But you're not going to see it. if you just want to go home. Why did she see him first? Because she was there. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this night. Lord, help my heart. Help my heart to not want to speed up church. Help my heart to look and long for miracle working happenings, Lord, that I get to see. Lord, help my heart to not want you to be away, but want you to be here and be willing to wait on you to come. Lord God, I'm so sorry. I don't even deserve to come to you in prayer. I don't. I'm a wretched sinner. I'm a wretched sinner that's found myself time and time again prioritizing my life and the things of my life above you. And I'm willing to admit it. I'm willing to tell you, God, there's times, Lord, I just don't think of you at all. And Lord, I don't deserve your mercy, and I don't deserve your ear, and I don't deserve you to be able to hear me tonight. Lord, I don't want to go through life powerless. I don't want to go through life without seeing you. And I'm talking an everyday, rich life that Mary Magdalene led, that she never let loose of sight of her Savior. I want to live a life that if you're not close to me or I feel that you're far away, that I'm weeping and wondering where you've been, instead of growing cold and callous and not caring that you're gone. Lord God, I know it's a Wednesday night Bible study. I know that it is, but I believe with all my heart that this is what I'm supposed to preach tonight. And Lord God, I think these people need to know that you are still a miracle-working God that loves them very much. And all you want to be is first. All you want to be on their priority list is number one. Instead of worrying about going home, we got to worry about what we can do for you. Lord God, let us be willing to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let us be willing to stay. And let us pray every day that you come down in a special way. Lord, if you never show me anything again, you've already showed me too many things. I understand that. But Lord God, I can't be a powerless preacher. I can't do it. I remember Dr. Hiles preaching to you and saying, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. I can't do it, Lord, I really can't. Lord God, please help us. Help us in this invitation to be willing to come forward and say, where have you been? Being honest with you tonight. Seeking you where you may be found. Lord, help us tonight, please. I'm begging you, God. Come down in a very special way tonight during this invitation. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar-